Hey guys, before this episode begins, I just want to let you all know that I partnered with DAT Bootcamp to offer a 10% discount code on all bootcamp products. While studying for my DAT, I found DAT Bootcamp to be the best resource during my preparation. Their extensive review videos and practice exams are second to none. Use code DOD10 at checkout for a 10% discount, applicable to all programs Bootcamp has to offer. Again, that's DOD10 at checkout. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dose of Dental podcast. The focus of this podcast is to share undergraduate and dental school experiences from dental students and dental professionals through valuable discussions. Through sharing the journeys and stories of current dental students and dental professionals, our goal is to help you find answers or guidance for your own pre-dental journeys. I'm very excited to have D2 Stony Brook School of Dental Medicine student with me today, Ahmed Abdullah. So Ahmed, how you been? I know you met briefly at the research conference, a couple weeks ago. So how's everything going? I know D2, you're entering D2 year now.
I'm entering D2. I just finished D1.
Awesome. So how was that end of D1 year kind of treated you?
So it was pretty good. The end of D1 year was a lot chiller than the beginning. We kind of, like, the beginning was the medical school curriculum, which was tough and demanding. And then we started getting into hand skills, which was frustrating in its own right, but really rewarding. You know, you could see the stuff that you're doing and you have sort of proof, like, this is what I'm here for. There's a sense of, like, when you're doing hand skills that, like, it's a very targeted kind of learning that I feel like, especially through college and high school and whatnot, you're learning about all these different things. It doesn't feel like you're really targeting in on what you want to learn.
Right.
So hand skills was, I think, at least for me and a lot of my classmates, the first time that I was like, wow, this is what I'm studying. This is what I actually want to do. That was nice.
That's awesome. I think it's also cool that Stony Brook, I know from one of the people that you kind of get into it kind of early. Like, you know, was it the second half of D1 year or would that be the first?
No, so the wax-ups are like the first thing that you do as far as hand skills in dental school. And it's kind of a way to learn dental anatomy. Like, you can look at slides and remember that this molar has this many cusps and this many roots, but it's a lot more sort of solidifying to do it yourself, to make the cusps. So it's wax-ups. And that happens, to my memory, the first or second month. We're in Morph, so the sim lab, dental morphology is the course title. We're there once a week, I believe, like pretty much as soon as we start.
Okay.
So that was really nice. It ramps up later with a class called operative, which is where you actually do the whole drilling and filling.
So you're doing that stuff kind of like alongside, like while you're taking dental anatomy, right?
So dental anatomy or dental morphology is the course that encompasses learning about the shapes of teeth and the occlusion of them. Yeah. And there's a practical portion of that same course.
Gotcha.
So we'll get the lectures in the sim lab. It's like, this is the molar. This is what it's like. This is why it's important. Now make it.
Nice. Sounds good. So awesome. So welcome. We'll talk about all that stuff in a minute.
Sure.
So welcome again. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you're from, where you like to have fun, you know, stuff.
Sure. So I'm 25. I am, you know, finishing my first year at Stony Brook. I graduated from Stony Brook undergrad and I'm from Westchester County. I'm a non-traditional applicant. I went straight, well, I had a gap semester, but after high school, I didn't go straight to college. I kind of thought about what I want to do for a while. I did a lot of EMS, which was a lot of fun. I worked some jobs here and there, and then went to it with the pretty guided direction of healthcare in general, and then sort of focusing on dentistry later on.
Gotcha. So why did you end up choosing dentistry? I know EMS is kind of really geared towards medical students. I don't want or pre-meds, also do EMS heavily.
Yeah.
Kind of land yourself in the oral cavity route.
Oh, cavity. It was really the fact that in EMS, you could do a lot of stuff, but people were kind of like once you treated them, you were just kind of starting their difficulties, you know? You could give someone CPR, but then they had to have, you know, they had to be on drugs forever. They have to get various surgeries to down the line. But I actually had an abscess on 17 and it got drained in the ER at Stony Brook. And I'm like, wow, that was crazy. I was in pain. I had a problem. And then a provider like fixed the problem forever. You know, he cut it, drained it. And then, you know, it never gave me problems again until I got it out. So I really liked that you could immediately see results of your work, that you were just, you could do something and then have it be done.
Right. I mean, it's cool. So 17, so wisdom tooth. So was there two tooths there though, right?
the tooth was there, but it had some like pathology that made an abscess near it. So once he drained it, you know, you keep the urea clean. It didn't get infected again. I ended up just getting it out later.
Sounds good. I mean, so this was in high school. Right? So
you said, no, this is in college. So I was
EMS,
right? Okay, EMS right before college.
Yep.
So then the abscess was in college, and that's like, wow, I hadn't even considered this, and I'm already taking biochem and orgo, why not?
Right. That's awesome. So I mean, what kind of So you basically decided to do dentistry. So how'd your mindset kind of change once you decided that dentistry is what you kind of wanted to do? Like, what did you kind of have to do? Because now you want to apply dental school, right?
Mm.
So, you know, with EMS on your resume, like, did you kind of have to alter your experience in some way to get into dental school eventually?
Well, I was kind of like nudging towards it in the beginning. I wouldn't say I was solidified. I just like, before this whole experience, I hadn't even considered it. Right. And so once I started considering it, then I did research. And then the easiest way to do research for me was, well, sorry, not research as in like in a lab, like looking into it.
Yeah.
The easiest thing was to just shadow. I figured like it's fairly easy to do. You call and you show up and like, what's the worst that could happen? I have 8 hours of my life that I didn't like. So I shadowed and then it was great. And I shadowed again and I shadowed again and I went into specialties. And so that kind of experience was self-fulfilling in the sense of, I used it to see if I liked dentistry and to solidify dentistry. It was also a good experience.
That makes sense. And I think it goes back to, you know, what EMS, like, I mean, the medical route is, I understand what you feel like when, you know, a patient comes in, you really can't help them directly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can help them directly, but it's only one step of the process, right? Medically. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in a dental office, you've probably seen when you're shadowing, you know, as a D1 student, as a finishing D1 student, that, you know, patients come in the same day, we get treatment done. Like the other day, I work in an office and mm-hmm. weekly, you know, the patient needed essentially an extraction
mm-hmm.
and an implant. So she came in, she had a lot of pain. There was a tooth there. It was root canal, heavily root canal. It was bent. Mm-hmm. You know, the doc was like, all right, man, do you want to get this done today? And she's like, all right, bet, say less. So we did it. And then, you know, sometimes you can't put the implant right away.
Yeah.
We ended up putting it right away because there was enough bone there. And dude, like literally in 2 hours, I'm seeing this patient from pain with a tooth, root canal infection, all the way to an implant.
And now same days are insanely cool. It's awesome. Wonderful. Yeah.
It's awesome. And then now she's going to come back in 3 or 4 months because there's no need for an uncover. He already put the abutment in there.
Nice.
Like, it was like, damn, okay, this is why I'm doing this again. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I feel like it's very rare in medicine to have problem, visit, solution. Very rare. And we're one of the only fields that has it.
Exactly. I mean, I guess the only part about medicine where you get that is if you're doing surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's more schooling, obviously. Like if you were to do like a MDDDS kind of thing, obviously you get to that point. But I mean, that's awesome. So I mean, from there, you're non-traditional students. Can you tell us a little bit about your mindset, you know, gap years maybe. I know you're 25 now, so you must have taken one or two gap years in between graduating that. So what did you kind of do in between that time?
So at the time I was young. And when you're young, a year is a big deal. Right. So college, 4 years, are you kidding me? That's so much time. Of course, now looking back, 4 years goes like that. But I wasn't sure how much time I was willing to kind of dedicate towards getting into the real world.
Right.
And so I wanted to see, like, what can I do right now? What do I like? What am I interested in? I come from a family of mostly physicians. And so that's the kind of written in the stars thing. But even there, like, 4 undergrad, 4 med school, 4+ residency. Like, am I really locking 12 years of my life? I ended up locking that much time and more. I'm on HPSP. But like at the time, I was really intimidated by that kind of thing. So I wanted to see basically what is out there, what is rewarding. And first thing is I casually took classes at community college as I was working. So I was like at a restaurant. I was at a mechanic shop and then eventually EMS. I casually took classes and I figured out like, college isn't that bad. It's interesting and you can do the work and like it happens. Because yeah. Graduating high school, I didn't really want to go into academia. I didn't want to study much.
Right.
So I was looking around for what I liked and what I guess I was good at. I was good at handiwork, which actually ties into my hobbies. I'm a big gearhead.
I see the helmet in the background over there.
Big gearhead. So I really like working with my hands. That's another reason that dentistry kind of lined up. But all the central point is that all the jobs and all the people that I talked to that were worth having, all had advanced degrees. I'm like, darn, I guess I do have to go to school.
I mean, so can you walk us through like your dental school application process now? So, I mean, as a non-traditional student, you probably have to kind of light up your application cycles accordingly, because you don't have like a school schedule to follow essentially. Yeah. You have this extra time. So how'd you kind of approach that?
So I 110% decided that I wanted to go to dental school roughly August before I applied. Okay. I ended up applying in July. So let's say 11 months to put together an application, to just scram and put together an application. First thing is I shadowed as much as I possibly could. It wasn't that hard for me. I called a bunch of places and had places to go to. So it wasn't that hard to be like, hey, do you mind if I'm just here 6 to 8 p.m. today? I'm done with class and I don't have anything to do. And that's 2 hours I go there. So cramming, shadowing, then DAT. I think I didn't, if I could do it again, I would do my DAT differently. That being said, it was fine. Basically, I didn't study at all until the last day of fall semester. And then I took the DAT on the last day of winter break. Gotcha. So that gives me some 6 odd weeks to just grind through all of boot camp. I did that. I was happy with the score. And so that part was kind of done. I didn't shadow at that time. I just had a specific time dedicated to it. I still, like, in retrospect, I like the idea of having a dedicated study time. And you see that it must work because, like, in med school, dental school, they give you basically dedicated board study time or step study time or whatever. So I like the idea of having dedicated time. I think if I could do it again, I would kind of at least start studying earlier, like doing this during the school year. I think that would have helped a lot. So then now it's February. I still have to apply in July. Well, I was trying to apply in June, I guess. Yeah. 5 months. In that time, I shadowed more. I wanted money. So the places I shadowed, I asked if they wanted an assistant. They did. So I was an assistant. That was good. I don't know that it's necessary, but I think it was good. I think it was nice to get a handle of how the office works, because shadowing is nice and you get a lot of clinical experience. You don't get a lot of managerial experience. And that's just as important, like long run career wise. I think being an assistant kind of helps you for what a practice feels like, as opposed to what like an operative procedure feels like. Right. Yeah, I guess that's it. I kept it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what kind of like offices did you shadow at? Were these different offices or were these kind of general or specialized?
So I started by shadowing at 3 or 4 general dentist offices. Basically whenever they would refer, I would kind of ask, hey, do you like that endo? Do you think he would be open to me shadowing with him? Can I have the number that you call him at? Or like, can you put in a word for me the next time we talk to him or something like that? Or even nothing like that. Do you think he would shadow? Yeah, totally. Okay. I'll call his office from Google. Yeah. So from the generals, I would go to various specialties. I never was more than a day or two at a specialty. Right. It was just like to get a feel for it.
Yeah, because I think when I wanted to shadow endo, the doc I worked with, he referred me to that endo place. He was like, you don't have to be there for like more than 2 days. Because I mean, endo, they'll do like 4 of the same procedures, 4 or 5 procedures in 1 day. Obviously, to them, it's like different. Everyone, obviously,
of course. Even in the general field, like I would remember, okay, it's a filling, drill, and then put the composite. And now there's 5 classes and a bunch of depths and a bunch of materials you can use. Who knows?
There's always so much you can see while you're shadowing. So I think that's why it was obviously a really big thing, because you grow a relationship with the doctor, you can ask them more questions, you see more variety of things. I've been at my place for about 2.5 years now. It's honestly been a really awesome experience.
Yeah.
And like, it just reinforces the concept while I'm in school right now still, that like, this is what I want to do, right? Because every like weekend or whatever, I'm working in the office and it's just like, I'm doing that, but I'm doing Orgo during the week. So like, just remember.
I bet it motivates you for Orgo though too.
Oh yeah, I know. I talked to everyone at the office about it, like, because we have some other people that work there that are also in school. So we always like joke around about Orgo and like how hard it is or whatever. And all.
Hey, it comes in handy. The enamel, like the material that makes up enamel, is called hydroxyapatite.
Yeah,
and you learn pretty intimately about how OH like comes in and goes out based on the pH of the environment. So that's a PKA that comes in handy.
Nice PK pH. Oh my god.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I mean, yeah, that's. I mean, for the DAT, you have to know that stuff, but like, I guess
when you see it applied in actual dental school class, you're like,
it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. It's not like you're drawing mechanisms.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I want to talk about the HPSP. So, Navy HPSP. So, can you kind of talk about what that stands for, what it is, and how you kind of found out about it? And did you have to apply first year dental school, or is that before you got it?
Before. So, the Navy only offers 4-year scholarships. The Army and the Air Force offer 3-year scholarships. Sorry, I should say the Navy only offers 4-year scholarships to new applicants. You can get a 3-year scholarship if you're waitlisted prior. But you have to apply, basically, the normal selection board is in February, I believe, and you should do it well before you start dental school. Essentially, HPSP is the Health Professions Scholarship Program. It's kind of a scholarship, more like a labor contract, by which they pay for dental school, whatever branch, entirely. They give you a fairly healthy stipend through your time through. There's a reasonable sign-on bonus. And then at the end of it, you owe 4 years of active duty service in that branch as a dentist. Whether or not it's a good deal depends on the person. Financially, like if you do well out of dental school, you can kind of break even whether or not you have the scholarship. I wouldn't say it's a massive financial incentive. I wouldn't say it's like you need to do it, otherwise it's not worth it or anything like that. I would say if you're interested in it already and you like the advantages that the Armed Forces has, that it's a great deal. The work is something I'm really excited for. I think that, how do I say this? The insurance system in the U.S. is not something that is easy to deal with as a provider. Let's just, you know, as generally as I can say that. So I like the idea that as an armed forces provider, I would just be seeing what I want to do and doing it. I don't have to get an approval. I don't have to see how much this costs or if they cover this material. I can just do my procedures. I like that sales isn't really as big of a part of it. Of course, sales is useful if you want to be successful later on, but at least while I'm starting, I don't want to have to push myself to go super fast. I like adventure, you know, I like travel. So it's kind of nice that, you know, I won't end up near my home and just working there and kind of live out my career or retire. It'll kind of force me to see different places, which is nice. And then there's good specialty options. Through the military, they are often in need of specialists and will, like, you have good chances. That being said, depending on your school, you have good chances of specializing no matter where you are. There are certain schools that have, like, absurd, I think, I don't know, Columbia has more than half of their class end up specializing, something like that. So it's not, you know, you don't need it to specialize, but if you definitely want to specialize, it's not a bad deal.
I mean, so do they cover your entire tuition? Like, how does it work?
Yeah. So, at the beginning of every semester, I bill my tuition. Like they give, like, I go on Solar. I'm sure you must know Solar.
Yeah.
I go on Solar. I get my cost estimate. I email it to the department head of tuition or something at the Navy. And then a couple days later, I look on Solar and it says, like, paid scholarship or military benefit.
Interesting. So, I mean, what kind of, like, is this, like, general, would it be general dentistry at first, you think? Or would it be a kind of, like, what exactly is your plan right after you graduate? Like, where do you know where you're going to go? Or do they kind of find you?
Me personally or somebody in the scholarship?
I guess both.
Sure. I want to be an oral surgeon. Okay. So I'm going to be applying to military residencies and civilian residencies. I think above all else, I want to specialize, and then I can kind of figure out the details of where I'm working. But let's say, for example, the military residencies, I'm going straight for those. For oral surgery in the Navy, currently there's 3. Sometimes they open and close different ones, like different multi-service ones. Like San Antonio, for example, it used to be Army and Air Force. They opened a Navy spot this year. We don't know if it'll be there next year. But whatever's available at the time, perio, prost, endo, ortho, whatever they happen to need. When the year starts, in the beginning of my 3rd year, I'll get a big email of, like, the slots available and how to apply. I'll apply to the military residencies. Let's say I get them. I go to residency. OS is 4 years. If you do your residency in the military, it counts as a neutral year. So I'll do the residency and then I'll owe 4 afterwards. I'll be an oral surgeon at that point, in contract with the Navy for 4 years. They can put me where they see fit. For oral surgeons, you're either, you know, in a hospital doing, like, reconstructive stuff, or you're, you know, at a boot camp, for example, pulling out wisdom teeth, or, you know, a number of different places. as a general dentist, also, they can put you in a lot of places. There's big bases. So yeah, if I didn't want to specialize, I would graduate immediately. I would be told where I'm going. I have the opportunity to rank the places, but you just go and then you're just a dentist. I mean, you have a rank, you have to deal with some whatever military bureaucracy there is. You get assigned assistants, you get assigned patients, but you're just a dentist. I mean, it's not an absurdly different quality of life. The hours are, I think, 7 to 3. So a little different than normal, but not bad. Salary is competitive with a lot of positions. I mean, you're a military member and you can get deployed to wherever, but ultimately you're a dentist. Whether you're a dentist in Qatar or in San Diego or in Florida or in Suffolk County, Long Island, you're a dentist.
I mean, can you hold off on doing the Navy until after you specialize if you wanted to do that?
So they would prefer that, right? They had me for 4 years. My labor is worth more as a specialist than as a general dentist. They would prefer that I specialize first.
That's true. So you can just hold it off for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Hold the fest. That's awesome.
Or 6. If I can do an out-service residency. I can do a residency that's like, I have to get approved by the Navy, but I can totally do an MD residency and then go back to them after.
And they would they cover that?
No, right. So would they cover the cost?
Oh, yeah. Because I know, like, if you're dealing with...
Per MD tuition?
For stuff.
Yeah. So... Yes, with a catch. They actually, it's really a sweet deal, kind of, to go to the residency on their dime. First of all, there's some incentive, I'm not sure of the details, but there's some incentive for the program to accept you. Like, I don't know if the military will pay them or if it's just that they don't have to pay you, but like the independent program is incentivized to accept me as a Navy applicant.
Gotcha.
And then I get paid by the Navy, not by the program, which is the same salary, I believe, as a general dentist in the Navy. So it's healthy, like not resident pay. And if there is MD tuition, they cover it. So it's a really sweet deal while you're a resident. However, if you do an out service called FTOS, full-time out service, you owe a year in addition for every, you owe a year of your obligation for every year of residency.
Okay.
So for example, if I did a 6-year right out of school, like if I got accepted to an out service, a 6-year, I would owe 10 years at the end of it, which is, you know, hefty. Mm-hmm. Or for dental school and 4 and 6 for the residency.
I mean, do you plan on being, does the idea of being in the Navy as a dentist like for like 10 years, does that scare you? Or do you like not have a different?
It doesn't scare me to be in the Navy for 10 years. I don't know about owing the Navy 10 years. You know? I very well might end up running out enough time to retire. It's 20 and then you get a nice pension. But I don't know about having to, you know, I would like the opportunity to like periodically reassess and see what I want to do.
Gotcha. So let's rewind a little bit. So how did you like end up applying to the program and how did you like know about it, I guess?
So, we got a lot of emails, at undergrad from various recruiters.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I ended up looking into it. I looked online and I saw like what SDN and Reddit, not that these are wonderful places to be, but which is what they had to say about it, sort of the advantages and disadvantages. I spoke to somebody on it. That was very helpful. I spoke to somebody, you know, paying it back because like during dental school or during med school or whatever, it's great. You're in the receiving phase. But I spoke to somebody who's currently, he was a Navy MD. No, he was an Army MD. But like in the giving phase, and it wasn't that bad. So, I spoke to them about it and nobody had any serious regrets. A lot of people wish this and this were different, but then again, a lot of people wish they didn't have $500,000 of debt when they graduated. So
that's true. And do you have any classmates that are also in the program? Like how many do they accept per year? Like how
the in selectivity,
is it per like school or is it per like,
it's per like district. Like each, the Navy serves, like the military in general has districts that they spread out in a way that I don't know. But every area has a certain number of spots that they can give for medical or dental or whatever. In selectivity, the Army is the least selective just because there's the most of them, then the Navy, and then the Air Force is the most selective. There is a selection process. It is pretty intense. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of writing. There's a lot of stuff to do. And a lot of people don't get it. A lot of people get waitlisted. But if you're in a big branch with a lot of need, a lot of people get it too. I'd say if you're interested, it's worth applying. You can always get it and then say no.
Gotcha. I mean, so was that after you got, you know, all your acceptance to dental schools, or was that like?
No, that was well before. So you fill out all the paperwork, and then once you're accepted into dental school, you continue with the process.
Oh, okay. But if like you don't get in,
then you defer another year, or the paperwork goes in a bin somewhere.
Gotcha. Interesting. So you talk a little bit about, you know, what schools you kind of applied to, how you kind of made your list there,
and
you know, how maybe like how your interviews kind of went, because I know that's a big point of it. That's interview season's coming around now.
So. Yeah. So first of all, interviews were great. Like I think this is an experience shared with a lot of my classmates. Dental school interviews were not scary. It was really conversational. It was really relaxed. They were just kind of feeling you out, just getting a sense of who you were. It did not feel like you were on like in the hot seat or anything like that. So yeah, given that it's interview season, everybody relax. It's fine. How I selected my schools, I wanted to stay in the area, roughly. I didn't want to go dramatically far away. I looked at time in clinic. I tried my best to speak to people, like on various social media. I would just kind of DM random people who had, you know, University of Maryland in their bio, or University of Maryland School of Dentistry in their bio. Most people were actually quite receptive. But yeah, just like try my best to talk and get a good sense of how the people feel that their school is run and how it's going. Ended up at Stony Brook for a few reasons. It's close. I'm familiar with the area. I didn't know I had HPSP at the time. I didn't know I was accepted. Cost was a factor. I mean, my list was pretty... I'd say most people applying from Stony had a similar list to mine. It was clustered around the area. I mean, there's not that many dental schools.
Yeah, it's just got to be the ones in Northeast, right? Like,
pretty much.
Well, my friends,
a few outliers.
All right. All my friends are applying to where you have the exact same list.
Yeah.
More or less. Like, you can't really, you're not going to be coming from here, maybe apply to like somewhere like in Montana, right?
I mean, yeah. No. I applied to two outliers and I got in and I'm like, why did I even apply here? Like, this is silly of me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like a few far ones.
Easy mind, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, closer is the word.
Yeah. Like, what if that's the only one I got into?
Exactly. Like, if I wanted to go there, I could have gone there. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So, I mean, what were you kind of expecting going into your D1 year? Like, did you have, you know, you had a pretty good idea of what dentistry kind of was at that point through your shadow experiences. So, how did you kind of, what did you expect going in, and did your expectations meet what you actually experienced?
So, yeah, you bring up a good point of I had a good idea of what dentistry was like. I had no idea what dental school was like. I had zero idea what to expect. I was very much walking in blind. And it was, I mean, people had said, oh, this is the hardest thing in your whole life. Oh, this is going to be, you know, sleepless nights, blah, 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 blah. This is going to be brutal and change the way you experience life. And they're right. It's not that big of a deal. You know, like you go in expecting a massive life change and you get one, but you're prepared for it. It's really hard, but you do it. You know, it's really hard, but you look back and that's the hardest class you've ever taken and you passed. You did fine. And then there's a lot of pride in that. You know, I think I realized pretty early on that at the end of dental school, I'm not going to be just like who I was before, but with a DDS, I'm going to be a different person because you're going through this immense hardship. And hardship, it's pretty cliched, but hardship builds character. Hardship makes you stronger, more resilient, more like able to focus. Right. So it's hard, but it's worth it and it's good.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I mean, that's a good point. You don't know what dental school is like before you get there, obviously, but, so I mean, what were some of the things you kind of experienced your D1 in your way? Was it like any significant obstacles maybe getting into this in SynLab clinic? Did you hit hard with the mechanical aspect of dental school, and how was like the didactic coursework? You know, like was it too hard to handle, or were you able to find a way around?
I mean, nothing is too hard to handle, but it wasn't too hard. It was really hard. As far as challenges, I actually broke my finger, so that was a pretty substantial challenge for all the lab work.
How'd you do that?
Basketball, believe it or not.
Really, you played basketball?
Wild. Yeah, I jammed it, and I'm like, ouchies, and then I like it stopped. It kept hurting, and I got an X-ray, and it was broken.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, really unfortunate. Yeah, I had to make up. Actually, I'm almost done, but I'm still making up all the assignments I had to drill.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, fun.
I mean, so how was like your first, you know, I guess wax up, how was your first like experience in SynWeb? How did that kind of go?
Yeah, the good point. So it was hard. It was hard for a lot of people. A lot of people, like, they doubted themselves. They doubted whether they were in the right place. They doubted, you know, if they could even do this forever. But it's just the same as a really difficult test or class, you know? You try, you practice, you get better slowly, slowly, slowly. You look back and you did it. You know, it's still ugly. You still got a 73. You know, you did it. It's fine. So it's hard. It's a big learning curve, but the program is tried and true for decades, and it gets people to become dentists. And you're going to be that. If you're there, you're going to be a dentist.
That's true. And you're also, I think StudyBrick is still ranked and graded, I believe.
We're graded, not ranked.
It's awesome. So I know like schools like Buffalo, I think they're ranked. I guess that matters when you, I guess, apply out to residency. I don't know how much it even matters, to be honest, but.
So I don't know. Usually, like, I've seen a couple of OS programs that will say, like, we want you in the top 15% of your class. But outside of that, I don't really know. Like, I mean, some orthos are very competitive. I'm sure that's the same way. But like at the end of the day, if everybody in my class gets A's on their transcripts, everybody's going to look like a superstar. So I'd like it. I like it better this way.
Yeah, that's true. That's awesome. I mean, so now, like, what was most of D1 you're like? I know you guys had also SynWeb clinic along with that, like, you know, for their coursework. You know, what kind of stuff did you guys do in terms of stuff that you might do in D2 year? Like, you know, like actual crown prepping. Did you guys get like actual clinical procedures, practicing them on like dummies? How was that?
So the first year, the first 4, 5, 6 months is medical school. We were in the medical school with the med students, and then once a week we do more. After that, like roughly around spring break, we start operative, which is the big real class of my year. And that is drilling and filling. It's caries and drilling them out and restoring them. We work with composite, work with amalgam, work with glass ionomer, like, you know, pulp resection and stuff like that. That's sort of the core of dentistry, and that's towards the end of the first year. And there's a point where we're doing that 3-4 times a week. And that's the most hand skills we get. Before then, operative takes the place of morph, which is once a week. And then after medical school, we were in the dental school also doing didactics. So it's med school didactics and then dental school didactics. And then sort of towards the end, we shift to fully dental school hand stuff. But before then, hand stuff is hand skills are mixed in once a week or more.
Awesome. So do you know when you start seeing patients, would that be D2?
So we started assisting already. We can kind of just waltz into clinic, and, you know, we have our little cards. We can go into clinic and assist whenever we feel like it. There's scheduled time for it. We get our own patients roughly halfway through next year, halfway through D2. Start with easy patients, like, you know, recalls, exams, stuff like that. At this point, the class right above me, I just got out of a second year doing like an advanced filling. They're two next to each other. And that was, you know, he was entirely autonomous. He was the faculty. He would call the faculty over when he needed, but it was his patient. I was just assisting, you know, it was us leading patient care. And he had been doing that, you know, for a while. So I would say, you know, by the end of D2, you're doing a healthy portion of what a dentist does by yourself, which is great.
Right. And is your school out of session yet?
Sorry?
Did you guys already have like summer break already or no?
D1's had summer break, but I believe that's changing. So I think going forward, everybody's off on the 21st and we start again on the 14th of August. So 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
We go pretty much year round.
That makes sense. I mean, this is what
everybody's don't stop. Patients need somebody.
If this is what you love to do, man, this is what you got.
Yeah.
No. So, you know, I met you at the StudyBrick symposium that we had, the research.
Huh?
That was pretty awesome. So, only wanted to ask was like, how easy is it to do research while being a dental student?
Shockingly easy. There is a gentleman by the name of Dr. Stephen Walker. He's wonderful. He leads, he sort of coordinates all the research at the school. And it's not even really an application process. You kind of walk up to him or email him and say, I would like to do research. He'll direct you to all the professors that are doing stuff, everybody who's doing anything interesting. You'll look through and then you'll reach out to the faculty. It's super, super easy. As far as time management, every single faculty understands the workload. Every single faculty understands the school comes first. You will never run into anybody saying, hey, I know you have a test, but I need this done.
It's great. My experience has been just wonderful. Everyone else I know has had a great time doing research.
Can you talk a little bit about like your project, I guess, and I guess you know, the grad that you got?
Sure. So before I started school, and then it just went out, I think, a couple weeks ago for this year, but there's a summer research fellowship that's open to everybody, including incoming students. It's $1,000, and it entails you writing an application with an essay, and you, if you get the grant, you just do research for the summer with your faculty of choice, and the workload is what the professor decides, and you coordinate with them at that point. My specific project, I worked with Dr. Canella, who's the Associate Dean of Education, and we did a literature review, and we looked into basically methods of instructing behavioral science. So behavioral science is a subject that's very, I don't say touchy, but kind of difficult to integrate, because it like we have so many difficult classes to study for. It's not that easy for students to take a class on behavioral science that seriously, which is a shame, because it's such an immensely important part of being a dentist, is, you know, properly interacting with patients and not, you know, knowing boundaries and properly instructing, because, you know, oral hygiene and home care is everything in the dental field. And a big part of dentists is instructing oral hygiene. So we kind of looked into how exactly, what people have tried to instruct behavioral sciences better. What are the outcomes? Is it even effective to have a rigorous course-based curriculum, or is it better to kind of let the students in clinic just do it and then correct them when they're wrong, stuff like that. So we did a pretty intense search through what other people have already done. I'm on another project with Dr. Canella now that is also sort of social science-based. We're looking into underserved communities and how to get more dental care in those areas. So that's just what I picked. But, you know, there's people doing really cool stuff. There's people who are doing stem cell research with, there's people doing like biomaterials for osseointegration. There's a lot of really cool stuff happening.
I think when I went there, I saw a lot of different ones, like sodium hydroxide irrigation. Like they were saying that wasn't the best way to, it was kind of killing a lot of good bacteria, I guess. Yeah. That was pretty interesting. There was something about like, I think using through like trio scanning technology, like the shade matching.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty cool. There was another one about like some double bone staphany or something. I think that's what it's called. So there's two holes in the jaw, whatever. Something staphany, some kind of bone defect. But it was pretty cool. Like when I saw it, I was like, okay, well, it looks like dental students can do a lot of research while they're in. Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. Totally. And yeah, so I mean, I want to talk to you a little bit about the literature review. So I'm actually doing one right now with
Romanos.
Yeah. And
Dr. Romanos?
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
He's great. I was wondering like how'd you kind of approach it? Like what was, you know, did you kind of just look through the database and just kind of just gather a bunch of stuff, make a table and kind of figure it out from there?
Essentially. But I would pay close attention to the keywords I was using. And I would always jot down the keywords and sort of like, based on that, I could search better, essentially. If I typed a keyword that got me a lot better and then plus a keyword that I really liked, I would get good results. From the actual parsing of the things, I always made sure to summarize each article in kind of my own language. Like it's something that it's only for me, but like a few words or a sentence, so that if something stuck out to me, I could go back and you know, look through my big summaries and go exactly back to that article. A lot of it is just, you know, a lot of it is just looking through, finding stuff you like. Kind of busy work. But the end result is good. It's a volume game, which is unfortunate because volume is difficult, but you just got to look at a lot of stuff and you'll see trends.
It's really a big volume. I mean, so what are your like plan, like now that you're planning to finish D1 year, what are your plans now? You know, you're assisting currently, you know, what are you looking forward to?
So I don't know if looking forward to is the best way to say this. I'm taking my CBSC in 10 days. The CBSC is a big exam by the NBME, the National Board of Medical Examiners, and you take it as a prerequisite to apply to oral surgery residencies. And it's from the same question bank as the USMLE Step 1.
which is difficult for a lot of dental students because this isn't really stuff we learn. So you have to, you know, self-teach, look through your resources, buy textbooks. So that's what I'm doing right now. After that, I'm traveling. You know, we had a hard year. Seeing what's out there.
Hilarious. I mean, these CVSE questions, do you kind of see some parallels between the medical classes you took in the beginning of the year?
Not just some parallels. They're monstrously useful. The medical school classes covers more than half of the material on that test. The rest of it, you got to fill in yourself, but at least at Stony Brook, and Stony Brook was particularly advantageous for this because we took our exams for med school were from that same bank that the CBSE and from the same bank that Step 1 is going to be from. So we got a very good taste of the questions and what they're going to be like. There's still more material, but first of all, the material was helpful. Also, the way to study, because NBME questions require a special way to study for them. You have to just go through a bunch. It's a lot of pattern recognition. So we learned how to study for NBMEs already. I think particularly at Stony Brook, I feel pretty well prepared. Well, knock on wood. I feel like my chances are better than if I had not taken NBMEs with med students and gone to med school classes. Yeah, definitely.
Also, I mean, that's the integrated curriculum right there. I feel like that's, I know even other schools like UConn have it. I think Harvard has it too. I think a lot of dental schools are starting to do that. I don't know if it's like a recent thing, but I'm pretty sure that's like a super fulfilling part. I mean, did you enjoy like the med school side of it? Obviously, if you want to go to LMFS, then obviously probably would you.
So I definitely did. I don't know if I'm a fair sample there though. I definitely did because I decided pretty early that I wanted to do OS. And I kind of like this stuff was interesting to me. I know that a lot of students were not unhappy, but it kind of felt like, oh, this is so rigorous for stuff that's not really going to apply to me ever, which I mean, I guess it's fair. You know, you don't need to study bicarb from the pancreas if you want to, you know, if you want to do endodontics or something.
They would say there's better ways to spend your time, like hand skill practice or being in clinic or stuff like that.
But I mean, it is what it is. It's only a few months.
Right. Why do you want to do like LMFS? Is it because of that incident you have your absence number 17, or was it kind of going stepping back more on that from like EMS days?
Partly both of those. Also partly, have you ever shattered LMFS by any chance?
Yeah.
It's amazing. At least to me, like, I don't even know if I could logically explain it. It's just like I saw the operations that were happening. I saw it tied with the anatomy I was learning, with the physiology I was learning. I saw the drugs being used covered in the medical curriculum. And I saw the importance of dentistry to the field in general. And like, I just had a really positive guttural reaction. I don't know if I can explain it logically why I love this. I just saw it and I'm like, wow, this is it. Ding, ding, ding.
I think the visible reaction is probably the best way to explain it. It's awesome. I mean, what is the process now from like D2 to apply to LMFS residencies? You have to apply D3 year?
Yeah. So I believe for civilian residencies, you apply at the very end of your D3 year, like almost in the beginning of your D4 year. I think August, maybe. I'm not totally sure. For military residencies, we apply a little bit earlier. We apply in May of D3.
Okay. So you have like your CBSE score, whatever, you have to have that down.
And the CBSE is offered twice a year in February and July, usually. And so you have, in military, you have one less opportunity to take it because, people applying in August can take it the July of that year.
Gotcha.
That's actually why I'm taking it at the end of first year. Not a lot of people, so it's somewhat uncommon to take at the end of first year.
I think one of we had Lucy on.
Yeah.
I think she also is interested in that, but I think she was saying that she was studying for it. I don't know where she's at now with it.
Yeah, she's a good friend.
Nice. That.
Yeah. So I think she's set to take February, but I don't want to speak on her behalf. I'm sure she'll kill it.
Yeah, she probably will. Awesome. So, you know, what else can you tell us about your dental school life so far? Is it all that set out to be?
It's what you make of it. I think, here's a hot take. Here's a hot take on what I think of dental school. Passing dental school is not that hard. If you have the intention of passing dental school, learning what you need to learn, being a general dentist, having fun on the weekends, seeing your family, it is reasonable to do so. Anybody, not anybody, but if you get to dental school, you can do that. You can,
I don't want to say take it easy, but it's not horrible. Doing well is a little bit of a different game, but I don't think passing is like an absurd goal. I think if you want to pass, your time in dental school won't be that bad.
Gotcha. And do you have like any last minute tips for, you know, pre-dentals getting into dentals for?
Wondering
if dentistry is right for them, I guess.
If they're wondering if dentistry is right for them, time, like, go see it, you know, time and talk to dentists and see what they like and what they don't like. I think a lot of it is, especially in a career that you have to invest so much time for, a lot of it is feel. You know, you'll feel, you'll see how they interact with their patients or their staff or what they do or, you know, how they live their lives, what kind of car they have. And you'll kind of decide, kind of over the course of all these interactions, you'll get some sort of feeling whether or not this is right for you. And if you decide that it's not, but it's too late, it's better to not know what you want to do and have a DDS than not know what you want to do and don't have a DDS.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's a good career, and it allows you to have a life outside of it. So I don't know that it's the worst thing to, you know, if you're capable and you like it, but you're not 1,000% sold, I don't know if it's the worst thing to do it.
That's cool, man. So thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it. I'm pretty sure we'll talk soon because I know that, you know, as you go through your D2, D3, D4 year, and as you apply to all my fast residencies, you have a lot more to say. And maybe even after you get into the Navy, we'll probably talk again.
Here's hoping.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Ahmed.
All right. Be well.